Hello, City of Rogers. How you doing? We good? We got a little bit of energy? Because I've been known to be a little bit like espresso. I can help you just a little bit if I need to. But if you seem like you're into it, I won't get too crazy. You can get a calm version if you want. So you choose your own adventure, what you want to do. You don't react, I'm crazy. You do, I'll chill. I'll relax. It's up to you. James. I love the book of James. And here's four reasons why I love the book of James. It's very vivid. I love stories. I love examples. I love word pictures. I love to watch videos that explain something. James is very vivid. And we'll see one of these examples in the section of James 1:19 through 27. We'll see a vivid example of a mirror, actually. Also, I love that James is practical. I don't know about you guys, but don't you want somebody to just give you something to do? Like, just here's everything. You don't like homework. I don't like homework. But I do like that James will set you up with a, here's what was just talked about. Let's go live this out. It's very practical. I need practical in my life. Just shoot me straight. Go do this. It's very concise. I have been known to take a one-minute story and make it into 5 minutes and maybe exaggerate it just a little bit, just a little bit. I need concise in my life. It's good for me. James takes big ideas and can put it in a few sentences. I like that. Here's what I don't like. And you're allowed to say amen on this one. James is very convicting. I don't like that. You don't know if you should say amen, do you? Just be honest. Who really likes to be convicted? It's just hard. Vivid, practical, concise, convicting. And all of that is going to come into our section of James 1:19 through 27 today. Before we do that, in my other life, before God called me to this crazy career of being a pastor, which I have fought him for many years, said, let me out of this. I want something else. But he keeps me here, and I know it's exactly where I'm supposed to be, with you guys. But before this world of being a pastor, advertising and marketing was my world. Like making a slogan, making a one-sentence slogan that would be concise and convicting is what I love to do. So we're going to play a little game here. I want you guys... You get to see Pastor Simon. Now let's move into this new world of advertising, marketing, Simon. Y'all ready? I love this kind of stuff. Here, I am going to put up a slogan, and you are going to tell me what brand it is. Are you ready? Y'all with me? Just do this for me. Come on. Can you hear me now? Say it like you mean it. Verizon, you nailed it. You guys are one for one. Okay, here we go. Next. Oh, this is one of my favorites. This brings me back to my childhood. Taste the rainbow. Skittles. Yes, my son is 4 years old, and he watched me. I was preparing my talk, and he saw Skittles on my piece of paper and my slides, and he goes, ooh, I want some of those. Concise. Convicting. It made my son want Skittles. That's good marketing, good advertising. All right, this one, if you get this wrong, one of our ushers will escort you out of the building. Are y'all ready? It's that crazy. It's that easy. Save money, live better. Who wants to get kicked out of this building? I can't kick Jeremy out. He's going to be a part of the service. Here we go. Walmart. All right, we got that. All right, this one I'm going to switch it up on you. We're going to do a logo or a brand, and you have to tell me the slogan. Y'all ready? That was so easy. Come on. Just do it. And if I were going to give a slogan, concise and convicting, for James 1:19 through 27, what's something that will stick with us this week? Here's exactly what it would be. don't just hear it, do it. Don't just hear it, do it. And we're going to look at what is James saying? Like, what does it mean to hear or know and then to do? What does that look like according to James? This, here's the issue. This right here makes it look really easy. Oh, just you hear, okay, God's word, you hear it, let's go do it. It's not that easy. And I'm just going to get a little personal here. 2 weeks ago, Sam Hannon said this quote, and it was James chapter 1. We had just kicked off James, literally the first talk. And Sam says this, the right attitude can turn a trial into a blessing. My last 2 weeks have been ridiculous. And I don't want to compare my story to yours because I know we can always one-up each other on what's ridiculous. But for Adrian and I, we had 2 weeks that just, it seemed like we couldn't win. It seemed like all of the things that are frustrating happened all at once. I would have loved to have heard the truth. The right attitude can turn a trial into a blessing and to have lived that out. But my wife and I said things to each other that we're not proud of. I was not great to my kids this week. And I'm actually going to tell you just a few of the stories because it was that ridiculous. My last 2 weeks, we have our first cat. We bought a cat. I've never had a cat in my whole life. We have this cat named Beatrice that we gave to, named after Junie B. Jones' cat, in case you want to know. Beatrice was for my daughter, Rosalyn. She's 7 years old. We've got this cat. And the cat was outside in the backyard and was attacked by another cat. Yeah, no good. I never thought about the idea of when you have a pet, you actually have to pay money for them if you go to the vet. That's not in my budget. It's like I was dumb enough to think, oh, we just get a cat for my daughter's birthday. It's going to be awesome. Oh, yeah, that costs money if something happens. I'm okay with buying food, not anesthesia for a cat. Y'all with me? Dude, the money in my head was like, I can't let my cat die. But this costs like $150. I don't know about this. I went through that in my head. I just did not have a good attitude about this. We found out we had a water leak in our house. We moved a dresser in our master bedroom and there was a water leak there and there was black mold on the ground that we didn't know about. And I remember Beatrice has like 20 stitches. She has one of those funnels on her head. And I felt bad for her, kind of. And then I'm over here and I'm looking at this mold, so I don't care about that anymore. And I'm just like, this is no good. So we've got dehumidifiers all over our house right now. It's crazy. It's just frustrating. We had this weird medical bill that popped up out of nowhere, and there was confusion on it. And it was like, if you read the piece of paper, it's not how much we're going to pay, but if you read it, you'd just be like, I just paid for our cat, and now we're paying for this in our house, and this medical bill, somebody's got to fix this. That stuff never is fun. Monday was my wife's birthday. She didn't have a great birthday. She actually ended up having, I know I'm not happy about it. I'm actually taking her out on a date tomorrow night to make up for it. She had kidney stones on her birthday. I know you are thinking this is like a story that I'm making up. This is all real, I promise. You can't make this up. Kidney stones on her birthday. She was having a horrible day, and I was like, how do I make her day good? And it was really that Monday, last Monday was the craziest our kids maybe have ever been in 7 years. This is the craziest they've ever been, and it was just a bad Monday. And this is the most ridiculous. All those are like expensive and you got all the dollar signs going, so it feels bad. This was the most ridiculous and it's so little. But my attitude was in a bad place. My perspective was not good. I am now coaching 7-year-old soccer. And on Tuesday night, a parent came up to me. You got to remember, the last week and a half, I'm not in a good place. I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to lead my conversations. But I'm just feeling really crazy about all the money that we're going to be paying And I'm at this soccer practice, and this mom comes up to me, and I just coached my first ever soccer game on Saturday. Then Tuesday we have practice. This mom comes up to me and says, "Hey, I just really feel like you weren't being a very good sport against the other team, and you ran the score up on them." I thought it was a scrimmage. I didn't know we were keeping score. We were just like, I was with these girls. We were just having fun. They were scoring goals, and I was celebrating. We were having fun. And then she hit me with, "You're a bad sport as a coach." Like, I've never done this before. I was just cheering for the team. You're supposed to score goals. I was called a bad sport. Like, this was a ridiculous week, if you can already tell. And then, this is how we end the week. I'm in a meeting, a fellowship meeting with all staff, and my wife sends me a text. insane laughter happened at the end of it. I'm in a staff meeting trying to focus and be present, and my wife says, in a text says, "I think our AC just died." Can you imagine that? It didn't die, but she thought it had. And I just remember thinking, I laughed out loud. She said, "This has been a week. This has been a crazy week." And then there's a lot of, that's personal. There's a lot of pastoral stuff going on. There was just marriages hurting, depression, suicide. There's just meeting with people that had some things going on in their life that even though my life seemed crazy, their life seemed crazier. And I just looked at all of it and I was like, man, I'm just feeling it the last 2 weeks. The right attitude can turn a trial into a blessing. And this is what I wish I had applied. Because hearing and doing is truth applied, right? Hearing and doing is truth applied in your life. I wish I had asked for wisdom from God, who I know loves me and cares about my situation. I wish I had remembered that it's all temporary. And I wished I had thought and looked ahead to the crown of life. I wish I had had a different perspective. Truth applied would have made me act differently and react differently. Y'all with me? Hearing and doing. Here's where we're going to go. Hearing and doing, 1:19 through 27, we're going to see things that we need to know, things that we need to do, and things that we need to check in our personality, in our attitude, and in our thoughts. Truth applied will give us a perspective change. It will lead our actions differently. Let's start it up. James 1:19. Get there in your phones, get there in your Bible. James 1:19 and 20. Let's see what James says we need to know. James 1:19, "Know this," or "take note of this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Did I say James is convicting? I am not a great listener, but I want to be better. But isn't the only way we can hear the truth of God is if we listen and speak less? My question for you and for myself, are we teachable? Are we willing to stop everything, to stop our wants and desires and our selfishness, what we want to say or what we want to think, to submit to what God wants to tell us? Do we believe it's better? This is how James ends a section on trials and temptation and starts this section on hearing and doing is by saying, listen, stop talking. Do not become angry. And here's why. I want you to see why right here. Because he's going to say in the next verses, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He is telling us to remove all obstacles that are in the way of us hearing what God wants for our life. Whatever's in the way, put it away. Again, I'm going to use Sam Hannon. I'm loving being able to use my friends, my co-pastors, and not using outside sources of all the great theologians that are out there. We have some pretty good people in our church who are my friends, and I'm going to use them. You're going to see only quotes from people I know in our church just for today. Sam Hannon had this to say last week, just last week. Do not be deceived. Temptation promises pleasure with no pain. Do you agree? Put away all filthiness. Put away sin. It promises something great, never delivers. Is that a truth that you will apply? It will change what you do, what you say, what you look at. That is what hearing and doing looks like. Truth applied. Do not be deceived. And here's why. Why remove all these obstacles? Because of this. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able, this is huge, able to save your souls. Implanted word. You can look at it two different ways. Implanted word can be, if you do not believe the gospel, if you're sitting in here right now and you do not believe the gospel, remove every obstacle in the way. Stop and listen. Is who Jesus says he is and his unconditional love and forgiveness for you something you want to believe? Do you believe it? Implanted word can be the gospel. Implanted word can be any truth that is from God's word. The gospel, any truth from God's word, the implanted word, it will save your souls. Remove all obstacles and believe and receive the implanted word. Let nothing get in the way of that. To keep going, we see a doer. This is the true essence of what this morning is about and what James is trying to say. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I want to pause on this. To be a doer of the word means to not just be a hearer only, because you would be deceiving yourselves if you were. Pause on deceive yourselves. That's the part that I couldn't get past. This is actually very convicting. I don't like convicting, but I know it's good for me. I think that's probably how we all feel. Deceiving yourself looks like this. The end goal, please hear this. The end goal of hearing the words of God is not to hear. The end goal is not to learn. The end goal is to do it. Are you with me? You can put 50 classes. You could say, I went through 50 different Bible study classes this year. If you did nothing with those Bible study classes, what was it for? James says, you've deceived yourself into thinking that you did something great. Are y'all feeling that one? It's not about hearing and it's not about learning. The end goal is about doing what you've heard and what you've learned. Man, it's doing it. It's truth applied. It's our faith lived out that James says is the most important. Here's what happens when we hear God's word and we do it. I love this. It looks like this. If anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and once forgets what he looks like. Back in the James day, it was more like silver. A mirror wasn't like the mirror we have today. It was more like silver up on a wall. They'd bring up some silver and just sit it there. And so the look intently into the word of God was actually to stoop down and to kind of look into. Like, I need to like get in there and look. How ridiculous. James puts this vivid picture that's actually ridiculous. How ridiculous is it to actually, one of us men in here, to walk and look in our mirror and to see that I have something green or black coming off my tooth or shaving cream that I missed, and then I just leave and do nothing with it. That seems really ridiculous. And he meant to make this ridiculous. To hear the words of God, because we are followers of Jesus Christ, and to not do something with that means that we didn't value the words of God. But the one who looks, this is what we're called to, but the one who looks into the perfect law being to love God and to love your neighbor. The law of liberty, freedom. Jesus Christ has set us free. Man, that's good. And perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. What happens? The result. He will be blessed in his doing. Whenever I think of law, I think negative. What about you guys? Law, negative. No, no, no. Law, love God, love others. Law, liberty, freedom of Jesus Christ, what he did for us, his grace. Us to actually look at those laws and to follow them, you will what? You will what? That doesn't sound negative. To follow God's law, we will be blessed in our doing. I have a story, a video that I want to share with you, and it is a great image, vivid image, of two men in our church who were hearing, decided to do, and they have been blessed, I promise.
I came originally from Minnesota in 1972 to Northwest Arkansas. I grew up Catholic. I attended Rogers High School, typical guy that played football, and met my wife in Little Rock, Arkansas. We got married and raised a family here. I have a son and a daughter. And there were a lot of things molding me at that point, and work was, stressful. We did a lot of things, a lot of moving around, we did things that made us happy. And we worked the kids in between. They were our lives, but we also were pretty selfish. I'll speak for myself. I was selfish. I wasn't a leader in my family like I should have been. And my son Austin just graduated from college after playing football, and he was coming back here to live and look for a job. He also had gone through a relationship that was difficult for him. And so he was looking for purpose in his life, and he was looking for another church to go to. And he had gone with a couple of friends of his to fellowship a few times, really enjoyed it, and he wondered how he could get more of a deep dive into the church. And he did no more than go onto a website and click a button, and it said greeter. And that started his relationship and with this church. Our family started going through some really tough times with our daughter in some addictions she was dealing with, and it still is, and she's doing wonderful right now. Austin was a solid role from a Christian standpoint, how to react, how to deal with this situation and make sense of it. I'm looking for something to boost me at this point. Austin came to me one day, "Hey, Dad, I want you to go to this." And I said, "What is it?" And he says, "Well, it's a men's ministry." I thought, why not? I was hooked the first day. This is about bringing men together, bringing mentors and disciples together, learning about the gospel, learning the men of the Bible, and really just taking a little deeper dive into the gospel. And that's what I needed. At that point, I started reading my Bible. About halfway through, Simon, who was very good friends with Austin, him and I started to have a relationship, and he started understanding and feeling me, seeing me struggle. He knew I was actually looking for help. I didn't know if it was called being a disciple. I don't know what it was called, but I needed help, and I needed help spiritually. He asked me, he said, "Hey, can I have you stand up, and can I talk about you and pray over you?"
When I attended the 10 men, 10 mornings, and then the 8 men and 8 mornings, I just had memorized the Matthew 28, 19, which says, go therefore make disciples. And I'm really being convicted about this. Simon stands up and introduces Tim Molitor, and Tim comments how he's wanting to be discipled. And I thought, this is a God moment. We're connecting at his house and taking some time to get into the Word, and really have had a blast. I've seen Tim blossom. His enthusiasm is just amazing. His heart is genuine. He's just the kind of guy I was looking to pour my life into, and he takes the Word serious. He studies it every day. I had shared with him that at some point in time, you want to have a time where you ask the Lord into your life and have a special relationship. And then you want to write that date down, because that is going to be a very special date in the future. Well, little did I understand or realize how special that date was going to be.
He actually had a place where you would sign your name, you know, once you're ready to confess to be a disciple of God. So I said, let me think about that. I'm going to do it in the right spot and right time and place. And he says, that's great. That's what I want you to do. So on August 31st, 2018, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I'll never look back.
And Tim got teary-eyed, and, you know, it was just a really special time. When was this? He goes, well, it was August 31st. I said, are you kidding me? I said, that's my birthday. But it was also another special day for me. August 31st was the last day that I had to do my immunotherapy. After nearly 3 years of chemo, a year of immunotherapy, I was pronounced cancer-free. So exciting, the day that the Lord had done so much and connected so many dots at one time. Well, there are people in our lives that, if you'll take that first step to invite them, see what the Lord has planned in all this. And then if you're someone wanting to be discipled or wanting to get involved in a Bible study, let it be known so somebody can help direct you to the right place. Take the time to step up to try to disciple somebody. Take yourself and the person next to you one step closer to Christ.
You know, I've been really inspired to talk to other people about the gospel, to try to help them. It's been a life changer for me. I'm trying to become a person that is better than the man before. And it's going to be a person that walks with Christ.
Hearing, then doing, you will be blessed. Whenever I talk to Tim and say, how's it going, meeting with Tony, he says, he lights up. It's been so good for me. Whenever I talk to Tony and he talks about Tim, or Tim talks about Tony, they both are being blessed by this relationship. Nick said this, and I like it a lot. There we go. The blessing and power of God's word only comes when the word is obeyed. The power is doing the words of God. God will bless that. Here's our main theme for today. Don't just hear it. Do it. The promise is you will be blessed. We're asked to check ourselves, and this is the ending. This is how we're going to land the plane today. We're asked to check something. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. If anyone thinks he's religious, the word religion has been given a negative connotation. In James' day, when he's writing this, they saw religion as actively living out your faith. It wasn't such a negative word. To actively live out your faith, see religion that way, and you'll see taming your tongue. So someone who actively lives out their faith has control over their tongue. Does that convict anyone? Me, maybe the most. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained from the world. Religion, to live out your faith daily. Active faith. I am not going to get into this right here because we will be hitting it later. You don't need me to hit you and then get hit again, then hit again, then hit again. You're welcome. Taming the tongue, James chapter 3. That's going to be a tough one. Concern for the marginalized, James 2. It's coming right up after this next Sunday. Warning against worldliness, James chapter 4. We will go there. But I really want you to think about the marginalized for a second. I looked up a definition for the marginalized that I really like. A person, group, or concept treated as insignificant or peripheral. Peripheral. A person that's just on the outskirts, outliers. I want us to think of that as we keep moving on. And here's another great quote from a good friend. We have some smart people at our church. Nick Rowland had this to say. The genuine fruit of God's word is merciful love and moral purity. Merciful love for the peripheral, the marginalized. Moral purity. That's what James ends his section with. True religion, true acting out your faith. Merciful love, moral purity. Purity is the character of who we are. It's who we are. People use the when people aren't looking, but it's also who we are when people are looking. Who am I as a father? What kind of person am I as a husband? As an employee? As a manager? As a friend? As a neighbor? There's the character, moral purity. How are we there? And then there's also the conduct of merciful love toward others. How are we loving those on the outskirts, the outliers? Those that maybe seem and feel insignificant. James picked the marginalized of his day, orphans and widows. That still applies to us today. But who is in your peripheral? Who is God calling you to love? Who is God calling you to initiate with? Don't just hear it. Do it. You will be blessed. A summary, very practical application, four things. What you hear or know, pass it on. Who will you disciple? Number two, moral purity and character in your life. What needs to change? What is an obstacle in the way of you being blessed as you actively follow Jesus? Number three, your tongue. Controlled speech. Start becoming very aware of how you talk to others. Be slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to anger. Pray daily over how you speak. And lastly, love the peripheral, those that might feel insignificant, the marginalized. God promises you will be blessed. I am very excited to bring up two of my friends. I would love to bring up Whitney and Jeremy Simons. And I would like for you to hear from these two how they have taken this message of hearing and doing and how they've been blessed. And they are now have a huge heart for the deaf community of Northwest Arkansas. So I want you to hear from two of my friends.
It is working.
It's on.
Let me get over here to the stand. Hey, It's hard for the deaf to sign with one hand. It's better for us to sign with two. Good morning. Good morning. Come on, copy me. Good morning. I'm going to teach you another one. Jesus, go ahead and copy me, loves you. Okay, you remember that? If you see other deaf people, you can say, good morning, Jesus loves you. Okay. Really, it's such a pleasure and honor to be here. Some of you know me as Jeremy, and you say, well, Jeremy, he can talk, so why is he not speaking for himself today? But my heart language and the language that I communicate the best in is sign language, so that's why I'm signing today, even though some of you know I can talk. I'm signing fast, sorry. Okay. So what Simon has just shared, the verse James 1:25, I just want to reiterate that. It says, a man who looks intently at the perfect law, he will find freedom. And as he continues looking at it and he does not forget, he will be blessed in all he does. As Simon spoke, and as I was listening, I was just honored to be able to share a little bit of what God is doing among the deaf around the world. My wife and I, even as small children, we were both called by God to be involved in ministry. But what that would look like, we didn't know. But we did see around the world, and even in Northwest Arkansas, that the deaf really didn't know the Lord. They didn't know God's word. Because in the world, there is no Bible, full Bible, in sign language for the deaf anywhere in the whole world. So it is very important for them to have a Bible in sign language because their first language is sign language, not English or their written spoken language of their country. As they read God's word in their heart language, they understand it. So as we looked at that situation in the world, we just felt that call on our hearts to work internationally with an organization called DOOR. It stands for Deaf Opportunity Outreach. And their focus is Bible translation for the deaf. And it's in sign language. It's a video. It's an app on your phone. They use their sign language in their country, not our language. And I'm an IT director for global technology for the translation. My wife works in graphic design. And also they do church planting and evangelism, like a 2x2 team that goes out into their own country. But I want to give you statistics. Maybe think, oh yeah, you work with the deaf, but let me just give you some statistics about the deaf. Simon said he didn't really love statistics and numbers, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. There are 70 million deaf worldwide. 70 million. 1 to 2%, maybe less, know the word God in Jesus. That doesn't mean they're following God. That means they know the word God. Because they don't have a Bible in their heart language. It feels like it's an impossible goal to reach the deaf for Christ, but God is with us. So we work with for DOOR for now 10 years, and 8 of those years we spent in Nairobi, Kenya, in East Africa. But God called us to move back here for my personal health. But when we came here, we just thought we were moving for medical. We didn't know this community of deaf people. But God said, yeah, I actually have a different plan for that. You know, just like Simon said, you think God's doing this, but really he's doing this. So Simon quoted up here, it said that what you experience, those hardships you experience, actually your attitude can make it something positive and a blessing. So God brought us here for medical, but actually he brought us here for the community. He brought us here to help restore the deaf community. The church in this community is very divided for the deaf. People who are not walking with the Lord, a lot of division just within people, among people, a lot of wounding. I want to encourage you to pray for the deaf of Northwest Arkansas. Now we have a deaf ministry here at Fellowship. And imagine, here, let me just, I'm going to bring it out a little more. Actually, when we moved here, like I said, we thought we were coming for medical, but really, God, we saw and we felt with our hearts that listening with your heart, like, wow, these people are really marginalized, even in America. Like, they had nowhere to go. People who were wanting to follow God, they had nowhere to be. And we started praying. We prayed for 9 months, and God said, Fellowship. We didn't know basically a soul here. We didn't know anyone. And we just showed up on Sunday morning and told John Barclay, God called us to have a ministry here. And little did we know that many deaf, hearing and deaf in the community who work with deaf people had been praying for over a year, some 2 years, were praying for this very thing to happen. I mean, it wasn't just even us hearing the call of the Lord. These deaf people were on their knees before God saying, do something to reach the deaf of Northwest Arkansas. And we just simply, the simple act of obedience, it's so tiny. And God just blew it up. I mean, unfortunately, in the next hour, all the deaf will be here, so you guys have missed them. But literally, we take up three massive rows. It's a lot of people. So God literally blessed just a simple act of doing. Sorry. So just pray along with us for the deaf. There's still so many who don't know the Lord.
And now that the door has been opened up for the deaf community, check this out.
That scared me.
Sorry. I know. I was waiting to jump in. I'm stealthy. We have some of the deaf community that are in Discover right now at 9:30, going through Discover, learning about our church. And we have 4 or 5 women that will be going on a women's retreat, and 30 to 40 that show up on a Sunday morning that sit up near the front. And God just keeps opening door after door after door. So I just thought we'd end this service with just praying over these two, what God's going to do. Let's end that way. Everybody join me in prayer. God, you have a plan beyond any plan we can come up with. Your plan is better. God, I pray that you would open the door to the deaf community, that they would believe the gospel, and that they would be able to get connected with church and with healthy community. We give it to you in your name. Amen.